Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have the policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight.
Well, hello, Nora. Everybody.
Hello, pal. How are you?
Good. We got Frank's. Frank's going to be calling in here in a little bit, and then we got Susie on in the chat room. And you obviously couldn't get in there again, huh?
No. I'm having a hard time. I thought it was just a blonde moment. It's not looking. I have to go back in. So, well, it's a hot day here today.
Yeah? How hot is it?
Yeah, 85.
Really?
Yes.
That's right. Next week it'll snow.
It could, you know, because,
I remember when I was a kid, I went to go to a Cubs game and it was snowing in April.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, last year, no, not last year, the year before. On the first day of spring, we had snow flurries. Unbelievable. But,
hey,
you know,
Art typed in and wanted to know if you were a blonde.
No, I'm not blonde. I'm a brunette. He knows better. He's on my page. But I do act blonde at times. It depends on lack of sleep I get, so... It is what it is.
Yeah. So what happened?
I'm not afraid to admit it. Huh?
You were telling me about the what is it, 8 thing isn't going to happen?
Yeah, the G8. Obama steered the G8 demonstrators for now they will have a day, which is the 19th of May, where
mm-hmm.
they will have demonstrators here in Chicago
right.
for the summit meeting. But in regards to the G8 demonstrators, he got it to where they're going to go to Camp David instead of being here. They can't enforce what's going to take place here. They're going to
uh-huh.
have a hard enough time just with the regular demonstrators. So, you know, as I was watching the news this morning, you know, what do you do at 5:30 in the morning? So as I was watching it and they were stating this, and then that they couldn't back up and protect the way that they should be able to during, you know, a demonstration. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays. Because the actual summit meeting is on the 20th.
Uh-huh.
So they will allow the demonstrators here to demonstrate on the 19th. But then here
right.
comes the RH347 law. That will take effect. No recording devices, no cameras, no, you know what I mean? So things will take place, you know, during a demonstration. Nobody can videotape it or, you know, record it, or they will be arrested
right.
on the spot.
I don't think so.
Well, that's what they're trying to do. You know?
So the Ninth Circuit Court just said it's okay to do that. You can record them as long as they're in public.
And that is going to be in public. It's going to be by the I need to get a brain. Where the McCormick place.
Right.
That's where the actual meeting's going to take place. Where they're going to allow the demonstrators to be, that I don't know.
Lakeshore Drive, right over there by the water.
Well, yeah, I know that, but they're demonstrating downtown right now. They have been for the past several weeks in front of City Hall, right there at the Daily Center.
Well, I know, I just pulled that up, and please be advised that the United States Court of Appeals for the First Circuit Court has just ruled on August 26, 2011, that citizens have the right under the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States record the police. You will
right.
find on page 8 of the copy that is ruled, and if you guys go to the blog, the links are all there.
Right.
But establish that members of the public may record members of the government, including the police, while they are engaged in their duties as in a public place.
Right.
So, moreover, the court has noted that
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Freedom of expression has particular significance with respect to the government because it is here that the state has a special incentive to repress opposition and often wields a more effective power of suppression.
Right.
Which is their threat to arrest you.
Right. Well, at the time when they were talking about the summit meeting coming here, of course, they were trying to push for the RH-347 bill. Mainly because of what's going to take place here. It's going to be out of control. Hopefully they'll have more than... The police are not going to... The Chicago Police Department is not going to be able to handle the crowd, obviously. So I don't know what they plan on doing. They were talking before in regards to having military assistance and everything else, Secret Service, but they've been hush-hush about that, so I guess we're not going to know until May. Maybe we'll have a snowstorm.
Yeah.
You never know. It's Chicago. Gotta love the weather. We can
Absolutely.
Go in different seasons in one day.
Yeah,
sure,
because our
side
enjoyed the good weather now. We're going to get it later.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, it's already hot here, right? Which is not good to see the heat this early on the first day of spring. Well, it's actually been taking place the last several days. So, you know, to see this kind of 85 degrees here today, that we have broken records for the last several days.
Uh-huh.
Well, today's record we broke from 1921.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, it's that's where it gets a little crazy. Tomorrow's going to be another hot day. We'll crawl down into the low 70s and 3 days of rain, but then it's going to go back up. Just how it is.
Well, you know... in a way, but it's like, what do we do? Where do we go from here, you know? It's getting worse. Hey.
Yeah, I know. The weather is changing. It has been. We've seen odd weather all throughout the winter in different parts of the U.S. that, you know, who would have thought California would get tornadoes? You know, I was on the phone with a friend of mine, you know, at one point during the winter, and she's like, wait a minute, and I'm like, okay, and she comes back, and they've got us under a tornado warning. What are you doing? I'm like, do you have a basement? She's like, no, we can't have those here. I'm like, okay, well, then just go to the bathroom and get in the tub and, you know, have something to cover your head and your body. And I said, that's what we do here if you don't have a basement. And it's the out of sinks. How many times were there tornado reports in California?
Yeah.
It's not heard of, you know.
No, it's not.
What was it, this morning or yesterday morning? Parts of Arizona got snow. Go figure.
Yeah, because, well, everybody, you know, it's like I said, you can get 10 people get a ticket, 9 of them are just going to pay it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's like I said, like I always say, if you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
Well, you know, the funny thing is because, like, my nephew had stopped her for a little bit last night, And I told him, I said, you need to know your rights. And he's like, what? I said, if you ever get pulled over by law, you do not have to show your driver's license. I already know who you are. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, they run your tags. They know who you are. You get pulled right up on their computer. Your picture and everything. They know exactly who you are. I said, that's your right. I said, or if you do show your license, you can ask for a receipt. They'll get mad, but that's just how it is.
Uh-huh.
I said, know your rights. I tell my daughter that all the time, you know, before she goes out someplace. Do not do this.
Yeah. But, you know, what do we do and where do we go?
Yeah, I know. Because, you know, at times she's been stopped where she just got off on a warning because it's a sticker, a village sticker, you know. I don't know. Do you guys have that there where you have to get town stickers for your car?
What? Town stickers? No,
village stickers
just,
or whatever.
I just have one that says, fuck the police.
Well, you know, here.
Right after
here,
it says
any,
after right next to the one that says, if you value your life as much as I value this motorcycle, don't fuck with it.
This is true. No, but I mean, like here, whatever town you live in, as long as you're in Cook County, you have to provide and have it clearly visible on your windshield on the passenger side.
That's
village sticker. But I didn't know if you guys had that there.
No.
No? Okay. See, you're lucky. Because, like, here in the town that I'm in, if you wait till after the date that it's due to be on, they give you a month, you know.
Uh-huh.
So if you go past the month, they will charge you, instead of $21, they will charge you $98.
Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, Cook County is Crooked County. It's not. We all know this.
That's because that's the city that works.
Yeah. And thanks to our governors, you know. In fact, what? Our last one is serving, what, 14 years now. He's already off posing in his Colorado federal pen.
Well, he was an idiot.
Well, they all are. You know,
yeah.
We did have, you know, two good ones, I thought, but, you know, that was my opinion. Other people, you know, haven't seen a good one here yet. So, you know, it is what it is.
You know, I'm thinking about a job I'm going to do when I retire.
What's that?
Well, okay. Here.
Rubber?
No. Check this out.
You mean you're going to be able to retire?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were that old. Sorry.
But I can go at 55.
Really? Good for you.
Absolutely.
So
good planning.
You got
on my...
a year left?
No, 2 years. But no, I posted this before, but... somebody sent it back to me today because they thought it was really... they said, what is this, your new job? But California County's marijuana plant zip ties become the most mourned casualty. Residents of Mendocino County... well, here, let me say something real quick. Hey, Frank, let me finish this story and then you can call in, please. But,
Well,
hang on.
I'm impressed.
Hang on. Residents of Mendocino County, the redwood and marijuana-rich territory of California's fabled Emerald Triangle, thought they had reached detente in a decades-old clash between pot growers and local law enforcement 2 years ago when the sheriff agreed to stop raiding the medical cannabis producers who paid to have their crops inspected. For a $1,500 fee, an adherence to the rules over water usage, odor control, and distance from neighbors, marijuana farmers working for groups of patients could grow up to 99 plants on 5 acres of land. Number of red zip ties had to be attached to each plant, confirming the county's seal of approval and giving a visiting deputy proof the pot was legally grown. See, look, what, this is all they got to do. Because it's one of a kind
program. And how much does that pay?
Huh?
How much does that pay?
Hang on. This one-of-a-kind program generated $663,230 for the sheriff's department and prompted inquiries from other jurisdictions interested in creating their own. But this month, the permitting system became the most striking casualty of the crackdown on medical marijuana cultivation and distribution by California's federal prosecutors. The Board of Supervisors ended the experiment after U.S. Attorney for Northern California threatened to take the county to court for helping produce an illegal drug.
Wow.
We thought we had something that was working and it was making our life easier so we could turn our attention to other pressing matters. This guy McCollin. We are creating an above-ground regulatory framework that protected public safety and protected the environment. It was truly a landmark program. 4.5 months after the federal government's highly publicized offensive has reverberated unevenly throughout California, has resulted in a near total shutdown of storefront pot dispensaries in some cities that welcome federal intervention. It has upset officials in pot-friendly places who thought they had found the right formula for facilitating legal use, and it has created uncertainty in localities still struggling to curtail the pot outlets. Medical pot is legal to varying degrees in 16 states and the District of Columbia. So what I'm thinking is if I follow this formula, and basically the cops, to me, that they're getting a bribe, but they don't take bribes. Right?
Well, they say that.
They say that, but
things have been stated different. Okay.
But these guys took $663,230 for their department.
Wow.
Yep.
Impressive.
And officials and more than half of them have been told government workers implementing medical marijuana laws could face criminal charges. But California, which in 1996 became the first state to legalize marijuana for medical use, has come under special scrutiny. Its laws remain the nation's most liberal, allowing doctors to issue pot recommendations for almost any ailment and giving local authorities broad discretion but little guidance and how to implement them. The state's laws stand in conflict with federal law, which holds marijuana as illegal substance, no recognized health benefits. Well, there's like 300 doctors that'll argue that one. But the primary tool the U.S. attorneys have used to threaten to seize the properties of landlords who knowingly lease farms or retail spaces to commercial medical marijuana trade. There's also filed criminal and civil charges against any owners. In some cases, such as Mendocino's, they have warned government officials. These licensing schemes are inconsistent with federal law. Northern California's U.S. attorney said in October, "We simply reminding local officials the ordinances are still illegal." As part of the statewide crackdown, about 90 dispensaries in 19 Southern California cities were sent letters telling them to close and face possible criminal charges and fines. More than a dozen building owners with marijuana clinics once located have been subject to federal forfeiture laws. In Orange County, which is about 60 miles north of me, the city of Lake Forest had a dozen dispensaries operating a year ago. After officials sought help from federal prosecutors, only one pot shop remains because now they're all home deliveries.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But see, you have that there. They don't have that here. There's only certain states that have the.
Really?
I don't think they have it here. I don't know. I mean, I couldn't answer that one to be completely honest because I don't smoke it, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah. Why not?
Why would I?
It wouldn't hurt you. Might help you.
Not become bland.
Yeah.
No. I just chose. I tried it once when I was a kid or a teenager,
yeah.
I didn't really care for it. And at that time, that's when they had, you know, the best of the best out. But,
well,
you know, like I said, I just never furthered it.
Well, the Justice Department directives have sent mixed signals since, you know, because Obama, since Obama got elected. We're saying that prosecutors no longer pursue dispensaries following state law, then stating that cultivating, selling, and distributing marijuana was still against the law. So California's federal prosecutors came in response to a second directive and unsuccessful efforts by local governments to keep dispensaries in check. The perception of proponents of medical marijuana was that if they were complying with state law, the feds were going to leave them alone.
Yeah, but, I mean, here we come back to the medical marijuana issue. What about people that have the card? It's supposed to be for themselves, but yet they grow it and they sell it. So
yeah, but they don't
technically
sell
it. Taken away. Yeah, I mean, we talked about this before. So it technically takes away from people that actually need it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I don't understand. What do you get from it? If you don't mind me asking.
What do you mean, what do you get from it?
Oh, getting high. I mean, what, does it make you eat like crazy, or does it make you talk? Does it, you know, what?
Uh-huh.
That's not an answer.
I know, because I'm
multitasking?
Still, yeah, a little bit, but what, you know, the administration, like Obama's administration, realized they made a mistake by taking the lid off. Medical marijuana has questioned why the federal government is derailing attempts to create legal frameworks for getting pot to people authorized to use it. They claim they don't have a problem with individual medical marijuana patients accessing their medicine, but then go out of their way to prevent the creation of any kind of responsible system for being developed.
Okay.
You know, basically, all it is between all these sides and everything, it's just a form of saber rattling.
So they're trying to regulate how much you can grow or how much you can have on your person.
Right.
Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Right. They just
changed
it. They just changed it to California. It's like getting a parking ticket now.
Right. Well, I know, like, you're allowed a certain amount, you know, for medical marijuana. If you exceed that amount on your person, they can actually charge you for that, which I find that completely ridiculous. Because if you are able to have medical marijuana, why?
Uh-huh.
Say if you have a baggie. Okay, you got a dime bag or something, okay? And you get pulled over, and they're like, well, you're under arrest. For what? Well, let's see your card. You show them your card. Well, you're over the amount. Okay, it doesn't make sense. How come you're able to be qualified to have medical marijuana, but they limit you on the amount on your person?
Uh-huh.
So when you're at home, you can have as much as you want. It's just when you're out and about on your person, you can't have a certain amount, correct?
Absolutely. You're allowed up to 3 ounces.
I don't even know what that is. But, you know, like I said, you know, that's what I find ridiculous. Why sit there and allow to have it legal for medical marijuana, but then they're going to say how much you can have if you're out and about.
That
would be like saying, I smoke cigarettes, okay? And I'm going out someplace. I get pulled over. Well, you've got 2 packs of cigarettes in your car or on your person. You know,
if you're smoking 2 packs, it's trouble.
No, I don't. But I'm using that as an example, okay?
Okay.
So here, somebody's trying to regulate how much I can smoke. So it's basically the same. It's just a different analogy from marijuana to cigarettes. I can understand it better that way because I've never been into drugs, so.
Uh-huh. Well, I've dabbled over the years, but...
Well, I've been around it my whole entire life, but it doesn't mean I understand it, you know, because of, you know, past family and everything else, but like I said, I'll never understand it. I don't have that need for it. Because we all have that genetic pull for it. To be an alcoholic, whatever. As
yeah.
if we activate that gene.
Yeah, I don't
drink. I never did.
No, but I don't drink. And when they pull me over and they ask me if I had anything to drink.
Does water count or juice or pop?
No. What I tell them is I'm an alcoholic. I don't drink. They're like fucking stunned. Like, why would I say that?
Right. You know, and how many times do you get harassed for that because you make that statement? I'm just being honest, trying to figure out, you know, because they always try to say to us, if you are honest and truthful and upfront with us, you won't get in trouble. And then when you are, you get in trouble no matter what. So.
Hey.
Is it better just to make something up? Believe
anything they tell you.
Oh, I know. I mean, the funny thing is, I was marked, over 15 years ago, because my neighbors, so many of my neighbors, were drinkers, okay? And an incident took place, and I was standing over, you know, like on my property line, but I caught one of the officers. I'm like, you know, is there something we need to be worried about? And no. And the other guy was like, well, she belongs to be with the other drunks over here. I'm like, well, wait a minute. I don't even drink. Don't classify me.
Uh-huh.
That's profiling. Don't do it. That pissed me off.
That's like,
you know?
That's like, yeah, that's like when they tell me, oh, well, we know you were down at the bar for 2 hours, and...
So, I've been in the bar for 8 hours before, and I came out completely sober. I don't drink.
Uh-huh.
What's the point?
Right.
But the point is, we came out of an establishment.
Exactly. So, it's like, where do you go? What do, you know?
Yeah. You know, well, what? They used to, when they had it, where... They didn't have the ban on public smoking here.
Uh-huh.
Well, you guys have that too. But when it was open to smoke, you know, it was fine. Bars were always packed. They're not as packed anymore as what they used to be, you know, or any other kind of establishments because you can't smoke.
Right.
You have to be 15 feet away.
Yeah, but I think we're giving the authorities too much time right here. Let's talk
yeah.
to Frank.
Yeah, let's bring Frank on. He's probably been sitting here waiting. What the hell?
Frank?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Frank.
Not much. How you doing?
I'm Nora. I'm from Chicago.
Hey, Nora, what's going on?
Oh, nothing. I fill in for Bill when he's off on Tuesdays.
Oh, yeah? It's the Nora
Great
and Phil
music.
Show.
Yeah, it's the Nora and Phil show on Tuesdays, and, you know, they still want me there on Thursdays because, you know, they just can't do the show without me, I guess. Well, that's what they say. That's their story.
Stick it to
now,
it.
Your music. Fantastic music. I'm just in awe. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, I'm 24.
Okay. No, and I'm not meaning that to be strange. What I'm trying to get to here is what musician, if it's one or if it's several, that influenced you to come into the part of music that you make today or that you have been?
There's
a good
hard
one.
It's hard to really say one. I mean, definitely.
Well, that's why I said if there are several or like a different type of genre, you know.
Genres, yeah, definitely. Metallica is probably almost my number one on the list.
Right.
Them and Megadeth. Ozzy. But then I go to, like, late 90s to, like, I got Creed. I like Godsmack. 3 Days Grace. I like Day of Fire. But Metallica was really the band I heard that I was man, I got to play guitar, you know?
Right. Well, it makes you want to play guitar, or it makes you just want to, you know, do something. And I love their music. Big fan, huge. I don't care that they're not together like they used to. It's all cool. But when they do come together, they put on one hell of a show. So, yeah, you were influenced by good, you know, metal bands. Definitely. Now, have you thought about maybe going in a different change in some part of your music in regards to, like Metallica did, when they brought out an orchestra with their one particular video and song? That was something that ever seen, really, with the metal bands.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you thought anything
like
that?
You know, I would say I'd definitely be up for something like that. I mean, my songs aren't just, like, hard rock. I mean, I just kind of class myself as, like, rock, pretty much, because
right.
I do hard rock. I got, like, It's All Right, really, is a Christian rock song. You know, but then you have songs like Remembrance, where it's just kind of
like a
ballad. Slower, yeah, ballad or slower acoustic track, but,
right.
you know, it's not really a hard rock ballad. It's kind of in a different category. But
right.
you know, I like to jump around a little bit, you know, and
well, which is good.
I think it's good,
you know, because you're getting flexible that way. If that makes sense, you know, you're testing out different parts of the stream, so to say.
Definitely, yeah. It gives you a wider range of material.
Exactly, you know, and like I said, some people like if you pull in, you know, a little bit of classical with rock. It's
yep.
a different kind of sound with different types of instruments. It just emphasizes the song or enhances it better in some degree. Now, have you been playing for a long time? Or when did you actually start playing?
I've been playing guitar for about 11 years, but my solo project, I pretty much started it in 2006, and then from there, kind of took me 4 years to get out of that training / demo phase and hit the, you know, hit the bigger studios and things.
Right.
Yeah, because in 2010 was when I first went down to Nashville and worked with Day of Fire and their producer, and that's kind of how I got thrown into everything. And ever since then, it's been like a roller coaster ride.
Well, yeah, you know it. Once you get seen and heard, it just takes one person and you just take flight, you know, and it just opens your doors in different directions where I'm sure at times you've actually, when you've had a moment to sit and just have your time, you know, where you could look back and think, wow, kind of went kind of quick, or, you know, it just went like crazy.
It does go by fast. I mean,
I
feel like I just left for Nashville maybe the first time, but I feel from there, I feel more, I don't know, like I can realize it with my music and even the way my writing is, everything is progressing. It's getting more mature. It's all developing. And I actually feel that now, where before it was kind of, you're in shock of what's going on.
Well, no, I call it like raw and naked, you know, and it's not meaning it in a weird analogy, but when you
naked.
First start, it is raw, it is naked, and you're just trying to find your place, you know,
you
to get the sound
out
that you want. Right.
Yep.
So, I can understand that. Now, your music, it's only available on iTunes?
Oh, it's a lot of different places. You can just type it in probably anywhere, and you'll be able to find it. It's not at Walmart or Target or any of those places yet. They really want full albums, so I'm sure once I get a full album done, it'll be there. But yeah, it's on iTunes, Amazon, Rhapsody, eMusic, a whole bunch of other places. CD Baby.
Right.
I guess CD Baby tomorrow is going to feature it in the Hard Rock and the Adult Contemporary for the top two albums. So hopefully...
That's a fantastic place to put it.
That'll be good. It'll be right on the front page. So everything's been... Because I've been on a radio tour since the 10th, and everything has been progressing. I can just see it in comments and people's feedback and even the physical numbers of everything.
Right.
This single is ready to ready to take off. You know.
Well, yeah.
When
you were on the show
time.
Last week, and you know, Phil played your song, I was just in queue. You know, just in awe. It's like, wow, this is like Godsmack Metallica. Yeah, that. You know what I mean? Because
you
I
could
know
hear
the
it.
Music. I like the music.
Yeah.
Right. I could hear it, and it's like. Oh, hell yeah.
I think you can hear, you know, if you know who my influences are, maybe if you don't, I think you can definitely hear it. But no matter what, I think you can tell that it's definitely me. It's definitely my own style, but I kind of bring things in. And
to where it shows your influences, which I heard that. You know, I know it's you, but I could hear your influences coming into that song. And I was just amazed. I was like, oh, my God. I love this song. Phil posted it up on my wall earlier, and I'm like, I love this song. You know?
Well, it's available
now.
It came out today, and it's been, been really good so far.
Why don't we play that one right now?
Yeah.
Sure, man.
Okay.
It's called
and
I'm Ready.
And we'll see if anybody wants to chime in and ask questions.
Yeah, they can call in, and I have on the chat board, I have a free download of my single, I'm Waiting, that came out with the EP. I don't know if you have it, Nora, but anyone who snags that.
I think Phil can send it to me, you know, or, I mean, because I'm on your page. I came and requested you the first time when Phil had you on the show, and I started to, like, come to his show before I started helping out. And so he sent me a link, and I'm like, oh, my God, here it is. And I was just excited, you know. It's like, oh, yeah, this is what I like. But it's the kind of music I like, you know.
Well, whoever inputs that code will get a free download. I'm kind of doing it like whoever does it first will get the download. So it's
Phil will have to send it to me because, you know, I'm going blonde today in the brunette head. You know, I've had a long amount of hours up today, so just bear with me.
All right.
You need to smoke a doob and relax.
You know, stop with that. Go puff on your own.
No. Okay, but here we go. This is Frank Falangi. This came out today. This song is called I Am Ready. I like that.
Thank
yeah,
you.
That actually has like a sound of POD. You know, you can hear like a little bit of POD in it.
Yeah, yeah, I can. That's probably more from the drum side, I
right.
think. Yeah. Yeah, Lester, I got to give a shout out to Lester. He was the drummer in Pillar, and that guy, oh my God, he can play.
Amazing, I'm sure. You know, because if that was him playing and that song, fabulous.
Definitely was. We had him and Jacob Vail and producer Rob Coates actually did the bass for it. And he did a guitar solo at the end, too. And he did a really good job mixing it, producing it. And I'm actually working another song with him now that we're doing we're actually recording the guitars tomorrow with the guitarist from Pillar. And then Lester from Pillar, former drummer, is going to be in this song again. So,
right.
Yeah,
he's just amazing. I mean, whenever he can, you know, get with you on music, unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. He's my first go-to guy. I'm like, oh, my God. Because, you know, I when I make up songs, I write all the instruments and things.
Right.
And to hear what I kind of come up with first and kind of the notion of the song and just have it take it to another level, it's just, whew. It's crazy. Like, when I first listen to it, it's like listening to something that's not of this world.
Right.
I'm like, I can't believe it, you know?
Well, when people are very heavy into music, they get what you're saying, you know? And so I can understand what you're – I've never played in a band or anything like that. But I understand where you're coming from in your thought of when you hear it. You
yeah.
know, it's just, like you said, it's just an unbelievable feeling that comes over you. Wow, okay, this is it.
It kind of gets you, like, rolling.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's like a workout thing. It's like, I hope to put it in some, like, superhero film or something. Like, that
you
would
know,
be cool.
Like in a Transformer film or something, or, you know, what other ones that they have out there, that would
yeah.
be amazing. You know, and I get that because that particular song could go in for, you know, they're doing so many remakes right now and the old comics and everything else. It would be amazing to hear that song come out in one of those movies.
Well, Phil?
I said it would. I mean, this weekend I'm going up north, so I'm gonna download. I'm gonna make a CD of that, and I'm gonna give it to somebody.
Definitely, bring it with you, man.
Yeah, they start filming. They start filming a certain show next month. Yeah, the next month.
Awesome.
Mhm.
Yeah, it's definitely like I've had some indie filmmakers use it, and. You know, like all my songs, I'm licensed by four different companies where, you know, companies like these big stations and these big movie companies, you know, they could license it if they basically, you know, if they come across it, or it's hard because it exactly has to fit with what they're editing. But if it was a promotional song to promote like something, that would be different. It wouldn't exactly have to match.
Right.
But there's just so many different things, and I got to give a shout-out, too, to my I got a couple endorsement deals now with Intune Guitar Picks Incorporated, and they've been great. I've got my own pick line now, and Supercuts picked me up, actually, with their artist program. I thought it was kind of a little different. And, you know, it's a place where you get your hair cut, pretty much.
Right.
It's pretty neat. And guitarcables.com, I think, is we're going to pick something up with them with sponsoring some equipment here. But so things are, for me, things are just keep rolling around, you know, along with all these stations and the press, and there's always new things coming out every day. And it's, I've said before, like, read my emails like going to Christmas, you know? I have no idea what to expect every day.
Well, but it's good because you're finally getting into a position where you're expanding out better, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Where you were probably, how many years back, you know. So, and it's a good feeling, you know. You get so hyped and just pumped up, like, yes, this is what I'm looking for, you know. And before long, you're going to launch. You will launch into a whole different place. And, you know, you won't be coming and doing the shows with us anymore because you're going to be too big.
Be too busy. I'll call in like once a year.
Yeah.
All I got time for now.
Yeah. You know,
right, I'm going to tell you right now, Nora.
What?
I'm going to tell you right now. Hey, Frank ain't going to be like that.
No, I know. I was kidding.
I know, but I'm just saying, Frank wouldn't be like that.
No,
yeah.
He'll have to come back and visit us. You know, it's the Brandy and Phil show.
It's funny. I mean, it's funny how people can tell. I don't know if it's just by talking to me or through my music, or, you know, it's weird that people get it that I don't really know. But they get who I am, and some people that know me, or not that they think differently, but, you know, I just can't believe the impact
that you're putting on people.
Yeah.
Well, you know, music just comes to people. If that makes sense, you know, it's not so much on the mood of the person of that day. It can be. But it just music in general brings people in a whole different place. You know, and you can sit there, no matter what you write or what you're playing, somebody is feeling what you are through your music.
Yep.
And that's what you hope for. I mean, the artist hopes for the connection with the fans, the audience, and, I mean, you have to have a connection with it personally, but if you make something that really doesn't connect with anybody, then that's really tough.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, I've got some CDs that came to me that they're not out, like, playing on the radio stations yet or anything like that. And, you know, with the one CD, I actually had two of them. So my daughter has one. So when she's, you know, doing her thing and she's in her car and she's got this music on, people are like, damn, what the hell? Listen to that. You know, so they're trying to scatter and figure out what music is that. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Unless if you know somebody to get it, like, say, your music, you know, if I was able to, but I don't have a burner, if I was able to burn your song and she went and played it in her car as she's driving, you know, or anybody else that I know in that manner, other people would, you know, and when you're at a traffic light, you know, all of a sudden, it's, oh, listen to that. Huh, what channel is that at? And they're trying to figure it out, you know, and
yeah.
They can't get it, you know, and that's all it takes. It music grabs people, you know, and ones that really appreciate music feel the emotions that come from the band, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's... It's definitely different. Like, becoming an artist and making up music, you kind of lose what your fans or your listeners kind of have. Like,
right.
You view things totally different. You can never go back because you understand music in a totally different way.
Right.
And if I were, you know, to meet an artist, it would be for different reasons than I like your music. It would be, it's just different, you know, just the relationship's different.
No, I understand what you're saying. I mean, the first time you appear in front of a crowd, like, say, a large stadium, the musician always wants to have it to where the crowd is going to feel their feelings through the music.
Yep.
And the majority of them, they do, you know. And you'll get your ones, they'll say, yeah, I like the song, it was okay. But then you get the majority of them, they can just feel you through your music. And that's what grabs them.
A lot of it, too, is just being you. Like, I think I am so much of, you know, myself and the music, and I'm not putting on an act. I'm not, this
right.
is exactly who I am. And
right.
I think that comes out so strong that it just, it filters into everything.
Exactly, and that's what grabs people. Nobody really wants, you know, there's a lot of musicians out there, whether if they're big or not, where they have that attitude, that arrogance. You know, people don't want that. People want to see you, see your soul, see your feelings through your music. You know, they don't want to see somebody that's arrogant or anything up there playing, because it's not that they don't connect, they do, but if they had an opportunity to speak with somebody like we're speaking with you, you know, tonight, how are people going to feel if talking to somebody that's just stuck to them? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like Susie says that music is feelings heard.
Yeah.
Like, I got Driving These Lines, I'm Waiting, and Love queued up, Frank. How about if we play Driving These Lines?
Sure, man.
Okay, we'll give people a taste.
Yeah, these are some songs off my EP that came out in August. I did these also in Nashville with a whole separate group of guys there. And, yeah, it's one of my favorite songs to play out live, too. It's got a nice groove, nice kind of hard beat into it. And there's a little, you know, old school kind of late 70s I kind of hear in there, too, with, like, guitar
right.
riff. Aerosmith or something, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'll play that.
Are
you going to play it, or are we just sitting there on the
I was going to say, we'll be playing it at, we're opening for Trapped, the rock band there, April 20th at Northern Lights in Clifton Park, New York. And
right.
we'll be playing that track there, and I Am Ready. And pretty much everything off the EP except for, we're not doing any slow songs for this one because we have a shorter set.
Right.
It's going to be all some hard rock tunes. We're going to do a Led Zeppelin cover, too.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be a cool time.
Right.
All right, well, let's let everybody listen to it. Huh.
Waiting.
I know.
I'm waiting.
Been there too.
We're just razzing you, Phil.
I know. Trying to. No, I had it opened up, and then somebody's trying to knock on the door here.
Tell me your soul.
There you go.
Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Now, do you also have this for a download as well?
I do, yep. It's a part of the whole EP on all those same sites, you know, iTunes, Amazon, anywhere you guys want to check it out. If you want to just listen to them, you can go to reverbnation.com/Frank Polangi, and you can listen to pretty much, you can actually on Reverb Nation, you can listen to everything I've ever done. Even the very first, like, two demo records that you can tell, you know, everyone's like, well, maybe you should get rid of them eventually because, you know, I got to admit, like, the first demo album wasn't, you know.
I can't hear you.
It's not something I would let a lot of people listen to now, but pretty much my whole catalog's on there.
Right.
All right, let's take a couple of questions here. 435.
It's not a question. I was supposed to call in at 6:45, but I got busy.
Uh-huh. Who are we talking to?
Ashley.
Oh, how you doing, Ashley?
Good. How are
we're
you guys?
We're interviewing Frank right now. His song came out today. Have you heard his music?
I haven't.
No.
What's going on Ashley?
We'll have to cure that. Ashley happens to be the babe of the week.
Oh.
And,
is that on there? That's on the blog site, right?
It's on the blog site,
yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
And as of today, let me see here. Including last week, she has 2,816 looks at that page of her pictures.
Wow.
So you should start seeing some traffic on, because I guess that's your email address? You should start seeing some traffic from that.
Yeah, that's my email.
Okay, you'll see some traffic from that, and then just let me know. If you get any crazies, let me know.
I will.
Okay.
I don't think I'll get any stalkers or anything.
You never know.
No. But yeah, if you wanna hang out for a little bit, we're gonna play a couple more Frank songs, and then we're gonna let some people ask questions, and we'll go from there. If you wanna just hang out, okay.
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. Hang on, we got another caller. Hello, caller on Skype. Skype going once, twice.
Is that me?
Yes, is that you?
It's me. Is it you?
Yeah, how you doing? Is this Izzy?
I'm okay. Yeah, it's Izzy. How you doing, screwdriver?
We're doing good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay, yeah. Up for the cold weather.
What did you think of Frank's music?
What?
What did you think of Frank's music?
I thought it was good.
Yeah, he's
very good.
He looks like, he's kind of like me. He doesn't look his age.
Well, of course. What am I going to say? You put me on the spot here, screwdriver. I thought it was good music.
What's going on there, Izzy? Thanks.
He's calling in from across the
London,
pond.
England.
There you go.
England. Awesome. I've got a couple fans over there.
What, just the two?
Just the two. No, I got more than that.
Well, two fans is good, I suppose, yes. Screwdriver, where's my pin?
Where's your what?
Where's my pin?
Your
that
pin.
I got with my presidential award that I never got my pin. Her pin.
Oh, I can find out about that for you.
I know. Where's Chuck? Where's Chuck Meister?
Chuck disappeared.
I'm just going to have to phone and threaten him, aren't I?
I think so.
No,
he understand he got a new job in He's kind of like been by the way.
I know. I'm just he's up for a big spanking, but the problem is he's going to fucking enjoy it, isn't he?
Yeah, I think that. Waiting for.
Okay, so what's happening? What are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about the Indefinite Detention Act? Are we going to talk about the Patriot Act? Are we going to talk about the criminal organization? Or what?
Well, we were talking to Frank, but if you want to ask Frank a couple of questions about what he thinks about the Patriot Act, I think it sucks.
Yeah, we all agree.
Detention Act.
That Detention Act sucks too. They got a place out here on Camp Pendleton for that.
The Indefinite Detention Act is pissed all over the American Constitution, and that's the bottom line, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, how are the laws in the UK, if you don't mind me asking?
How are the laws?
I mean, are they similar to ours?
Then they're actually nothing like yours. I have to say that they always say that America gets flu and we get a cold. I don't know what it is that England wants to definitely, you know, have incestual sex with America. I don't know what it is. But right now, our laws aren't as bad as America. I have to...
Yeah, I mean, they're actually choking us more and more, you know, as it goes.
It's definitely a new world order. I have to say, I looked at the statistics. What have you got? 4 million in jail. One in 20 children have a parent in jail. You've got one in 30 American adults who are either on papers or on probation or in jail. You have more incarcerated in America than you do in China and in the whole of Europe. And a quarter of the world's population is incarcerated in America.
Yeah, I know. It is horrifying. You know,
yeah,
and they used to have where you had free time or good time. They
you
took
have an
that
American
away.
President who isn't even American.
Oh, we already knew this.
Yeah, I mean, it's
a disgrace, is what it is.
Yeah, it is. And when you have an organization like the Innocence Project, formed by a bunch of attorneys, you know it's got to be fairly serious when even they have formed together to try and get, you know, you're executing people
you can call
that aren't guilty. It's dire.
Right.
I mean, America should fucking weep.
Well, you know, a lot
of
people...
I can't believe that it's come to this.
Well, you know, a lot of people seem to think that the majority of us agree. Oh, no, we don't agree. You know,
yeah,
I mean, all our amendments are gone. You know, whatever freedom we thought we had, that went out the back door a long time ago. You know, it's just at a point now where it's such a chokehold, where it's more visible now, if that makes sense, than what it was, say, 10, 15, 20 years ago, you know. But like I said, with this ass and, you know, as a president, it's just made it worse. It's made it worse.
Yeah. It's horrific. I really don't know what to say. I mean, you know, my partner and I, we do the BHC, and we have a brother in jail who is definitely innocent. And if you look at all his paperwork, it's quite clear. In England, it would be, you know, just thrown out of court.
Right.
And he
but unfortunately, there's
years.
A lot of them that are in that place.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they just slam.
Your prison system is based on
ridiculous.
Finance.
Yeah, well, like I said, it's also ridiculous.
It's big business.
Right. Oh, yeah. You know, like I said, it's unfortunate because there's so many of them that are innocently placed. Well, we'll say it nicely. And like I said, what do? You can help as much as you can. Is it going to change where they're at? No. Because the way the government is here, I mean, it's ridiculous.
I don't even understand the word unfortunate. I mean, when I put myself in the place of Brian Brewer, who's had his habeas turned down in a case where none of the fingerprints were his, none of the handprints were his, and he wasn't even in the same state as the crime was committed, and it's quite
right.
clear that nobody identified him. It's a fit up. It's not even unfortunate. It's a fucking criminal organization.
Well, it's a travesty and it's a disgrace. You know, and like I said, if I've told people, if you're innocent, this is where you need to be because you'll get locked up for it. It doesn't matter who you
it's
are
terrific.
Or what you are, you know, and it's insane. It's just insane, you know.
It is.
And,
it is.
I mean, for each of us, you know, writing and stuff, I've done it. You know, I never knew what to do in regards to, like, funds because I didn't know where to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like I said, I always try to, hey, how you doing? You know, I talk basic in regards to sports or, you know, if something that is different that focuses them a little bit for a minute, if that makes sense, than where they're at. You know, and like I've always told people, if you want to know what prison is like, I've never been there. But mm-hmm. if you want to know what it's like, lock yourself in the bathroom and stay in there 24/7. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very depressing. I mean, I don't really know what the answer is, but as I say,
you know, it's crazy because a lot of the stuff that happens in Australia happens in.
Oh,
happens
they're
in
really bad there,
yes,
from what I heard.
You know, but you know what? The thing about Australia and Canada, they have the interesting thing is because of course they come under our Queen. Even they have like in England, we have our High Court is in Belgium. And America and Canada,
really?
They have their higher court is us. It's the Privy Council. Now, even America and Australia and Canada, they have shut the doors to the right of appeal to the Privy Council. Now that's bullshit.
Well, yeah,
right?
I agree.
Canada have also shut down. They say there is no room for the Miranda Law, which is the right to an attorney during investigation.
Right.
I mean, this smacks of guilt to me.
Yeah.
You know, if you close the doors to the right of a higher counsel, that to me that means you're guilty and you don't want anybody to interfere. And the Privy Council actually, you know, it's the higher court.
Right.
I
mean, Canada's really bad. They've been really
Canada,
cracking on. Right, I mean, Canada's really been cracking on them lately, from what I've heard. And I thought, my God, what the hell is wrong with everybody?
Absolutely. And you have Maricopa Ventura in San Diego, which I have to add that, allegedly, doesn't that save me from being sued, allegedly are the most corrupt places.
Well, Illinois is. That's where I'm from.
Well,
I'll tell
you
that right now.
I could send you reams of paper, but I also would like to tell your listeners that Aging Rebel is a very good place to go. I'm sure Screwdriver knows about it, but www.agingrebel.com.
Right. If he has the link, she can send them to my email.
If you guys just go to my blog, you can get his stuff there too.
Yeah, but you.
But I'll put it in the chat room for a minute.
Have you put it in? Is it on your link site?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I mean he's a good writer, and he's very investigative and he's neutral.
Yes,
I think he's fair, but I mean, I don't know the answers. All I know is that there's a lot of bullshit going on, and you know, the Gang Act that they brought in that adds immediate sort of 5-6 years onto a charge.
Well, yeah, it's like I'm just gonna. This is a. For instance, okay. I know of something that happened not too long ago, I think almost 3 months now, where some people were told to make a deal,
mm-hmm.
and it's getting 5 years, they just do 2 years, if they signed the paper and said, yeah, they did it. And basically they told them to get fucked.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know about this, and I know of another instance of this going on that is a completely bullshit case that would have been basically thrown out. Somebody, for instance, somebody goes to a prison to visit another person who is a ex-felon who was then allowed to visit. And then when he came out, was arrested for visiting as a felon, and he's going to take a deal because he knows the larger picture, he can see the bigger picture. But the point is, do you go into a restaurant, do you eat a meal, you come out, and then they say you're barred? No, you don't.
Right.
Right, you go.
That's what I'm saying. That's all such a
you go
privilege.
Into a place and they say you're not fucking allowed in here, and that's it.
Oh, I know.
It's set up, and it's a criminal organization. And I don't know the answer to it, but I know it's corrupt, and I know it's wrong, and I cannot believe that American people have, well, and I'm not blaming American people. What I'm saying is, it's very disappointing that. You know what, I almost think that Ron Paul is the only answer. I have great faith in Ron Paul. It's just a pity he's not 30 instead of whatever he is, 60-odd. It's complete corruption.
Right.
And that's what's so frightening. When you read in the small clause on the new health bill that Obama has put out, which is that by 2013, every American citizen should have an implanted chip.
Yeah, for what?
Well,
yeah, for
I
what?
Mean, what you
they,
have to understand
they fail,
that
they
is,
fail to tell you that it's not only going to have your health details, it's going to have your bank account details. Now,
it's
going to
have everything. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's another form of, as we call it,
it's control.
Surveillance.
It's
surveillance.
Control.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, and people don't realize what's coming. And,
no, they don't,
you know,
because they haven't stood up thus far. And wake the fuck up.
Well,
it's just like this.
Say.
It's just like this. In Utah, they have a new NSA spy center, and it stores everything, which is what you're talking about, Izzy. Obama secretly signed his Patriot Act again, spending $2 billion.
The Patriot Act was complete bullshit, screwdriver.
I know, but he spent $2 billion on a 25,000 square foot data center in Utah in the desert.
Everyone.
Yeah. Signed by...
Exactly.
Yeah. What was his name? Barry Sartorio? He had three social security numbers. What's he's fondly known as Bubba, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't understand it. I don't understand how he's been able to get away with it. But, I mean, the fact that he has been able to get away with it proves that, to me... Well,
see, this is what I can't understand. I can't say names, as we know this. But, you know, people that we know, ones I've talked to across the pond, you know, and it's like, well, when you want to come and visit, you know, because I didn't have any knowledge on what was signed, you know, in 2011. I'm like, are you kidding me? For what?
Yeah.
Why can't
you know, they
me?
Just,
and
they
I don't
just,
get
they
it.
Just,
I'm sorry. You know,
they just stop everybody from traveling.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, I'll tell you what. I came, I visited briefly in New York 3 weeks ago. I was asked, where was my partner?
Why?
I don't know who the fuck you're talking about. That's what I said. You know who we're talking about.
Why does
about?
That
no,
matter?
Huh?
I said, why does that matter? I'm sorry.
My partner wears a patch. That's what it was about.
So what? Right. Why does that matter?
No,
but
that's what I'm talking about. This is what I'm telling you.
What they
you.
Do, right?
A year ago, when we traveled to a certain Eastern European country, we were stopped three times. I was strip searched. And I mean, it's a funny story because I was stopped. We were all stopped, and then I was carted off and strip searched, and it was German. And she said, take off your clothes. And I said, whatever. Took my clothes off, and she said, she looked at my passport. She says, oh, well, I hope I look as good as you at when I'm your age. And I said, well, you know, can you cut the foreplay and get on with it? And she then said, bend over, and that was it, and blah, blah, blah. And then she said, guns or drugs? And I said, no, thanks. I'm trying to travel light. No sense of humor whatsoever. And then I said, what the fuck is your problem? And she said, because we are frightened of you.
Why?
And that's what I
said. I don't get that.
No answer.
I'm sorry. I don't get that.
No, nor do I. So then I said, she said, oh, I will be traveling to your country in the summer. And I said, well, I hope you're not expecting a fucking invite from me, because you're not going to get one.
Well, and, exactly.
And that was the bottom line. We're frightened of you. What the fuck is that about? And then,
well,
you know,
yeah, you know, I've been told that too. That I had a situation where the guy went in, and the next day was talking to someone that knows me, and he said, well, you know, I'm afraid of those guys. And the guy said, well, why are you afraid of them? Well, because, you know, the stuff they taught us in the academy and this and that. And the guy told him, hey, this is the 21st century. If you're that afraid,
and
you
that's
should...
what it is. It's propaganda.
Yeah,
yeah,
and it's BS. What they blast out on, what is it, so gangland?
It's fucking
really?
Propaganda. And
you
know what? It's bullshit. And these guys are fucking riding around on runs. They get their one-yearly run where they sit there discussing and fucking swapping notes, fucking bullshit notes on clothing.
Right.
They know fuck all about. And Jay Dobin being one of them, who's a fucking arsehole. It's bullshit.
Let's put it this way. I'm only 5'2 and 129 pounds. Most of these guys are way bigger than
24 pounds.
Right. So, you know, most of the guys are way bigger than us. But you know what? When they come to my home, you know who they are? They're my friends.
Yeah, but you know
line.
What? The point is that you see, I seriously wonder about the problem of cops on roids. When you see the guy, who was it, Screwdriver? Who was the veteran? Not a veteran. He'd just come back from Iraq, and his wife, he told his wife and child to hide in a closet.
Yeah, that was in Arizona.
Yeah, 47 times, wasn't it?
Out of the 75 bullets that went down the hallway.
Yeah, that's right. It's a fucking outrage.
Oh, my
61
God.
61 of them went through him.
It's a fucking outrage what's going
that's
on.
Disgusting.
And this is, I tell you what, I think this is cops on fucking roids and power on a power trip.
My girlfriend's son, now we did a part on the show here, you know, like almost 2 months ago. My girlfriend that I grew up with, her son was gunned down. They opened up and emptied all their clips on my girlfriend's son for mistaken identity. Really?
Yes. There were 16-year-olds going missing because they're busting them and taking them away. There's plenty of fucking information on this.
Oh, I know, because, you know, I see it in the news here, you know,
you
there's a 7-year-old shot in the face.
What's your name?
You know, I mean, they're completely out of control.
What's your name?
I'm sorry, my name is Nora. Your name?
Nora. Right. Nora who?
Nora Benke. I'm
okay.
On Facebook. Are you on
right.
Facebook?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay.
Wow. So you know.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, but it just appalls me, you know, just as much as everybody else. I find it an outrage, you know, they kill kids. They're just out of control. They are.
Yes, it is out of control, but I don't know the answer, unfortunately, unless you have a revolution.
Yeah, well, I don't see an uprising coming anytime too soon. Everybody else is just stupid, as we're trying to get information out to people that come and listen. You know what I mean? So they know what their rights are and know what they can do and know what they can't do, because the majority of the people don't know and they don't care.
Because I told you guys, if they bend over once, they're going to bend over twice.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, if I'm going to bend over once, I'd at least like to get a reach around.
Yeah. Well, I don't know the answer, but just on a brief note, Brian lost his habeas.
Oh, really?
You know about that screwdriver.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to do the Innocence Project with it, hoping he will sign the papers. He is innocent. Kevin Augustiniak has been forced to take a deal because he had a fucking arsehole lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they are. They're just out for the money.
I'll talk to you about it later.
Okay.
Screwdriver. I'll send you an email in private.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. I mean, we can talk about things, but there's a lot of things.
There's other things we can't. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is the place for info. So, I mean,
I mean, some things I do know about, and I know you, Nora, so I know of you anyway.
Okay.
But screwdriver, I'll talk to you in private. I'll send you an email.
Okay.
Okay. It was good talking to you. Let's,
if you want to call back Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, we do this twice a week. You know, you're always welcome to come back. There, like, you know, he said, there's just certain things we can't say, you know, because we get watched as well. You know, they chime in.
What?
They chime in on us. So we have to be careful.
Yeah, I know we have to be careful, but, you know, we're not doing anything wrong. That's the thing.
But,
you know, to them, we are, you know, because we're putting information out there and they don't like it.
Yeah, I've been accused of sending subliminal messages, Izzy.
Of course.
Well, that's okay.
We know all
censored.
About those subliminal messages, don't we?
Yeah.
So what do we do? What is the answer? You have FEMA camps being built?
Yeah, you know, in Los Angeles, about 3 weeks ago, they did a military op downtown with 5 helicopters, and they have a center right in
I saw it. But yeah. You also have Alison Warden, who's one of the prosecutors of Maricopa County, and Sergeant Friedman, who have been charged with corruption. Actually, what they did was destroy a traffic ticket. But the point is, if they'd been deemed as, in England, if you've been deemed as corrupt, you're deemed as corrupt, you know, that's it.
Right.
So I don't know how it stands there. No doubt they'll get away with it, but Alison Warden, who's a prosecutor, was also instrumental of prosecuting a lot of brothers. So I'm pursuing that.
You know, I heard a good joke the other day. You know, always the liberals. But the liberals are asking us to give Obama time, you know. So I kind of agreed, but I said 25 to life would be appropriate.
You know what? I keep hammering on to Gary Wilkes, what's his name? Do you know him? Gary Wilkes Smythe, is he? He's an attorney at, in San Bernardino, I think. But, you know, you should throw the RICO Act at these guys.
Well, I try and talk to everybody, Izzy, and I sent out my thing goes out to everybody, and some guys are just afraid to come on the air.
I know they are. But the point is, I confronted this attorney and said, why can you not fucking throw this RICO Act at the government, at Obama, at blah blah blah? And he said, well, because Obama has to sign it. This is bullshit. This is a corrupt fucking, this is a criminal organization. We know that. that has
to
be.
I got a joke
away.
For that one too. The difference between Obama's cabinet and the penitentiary.
It's bullshit. It's bullshit. There has to be. I mean, you haven't even proved that this guy is actually American because he has three different birth certificates. He's
well, you know what the difference between Obama and his dog Bo is?
What?
Bo has Let's papers. Has papers.
And Nora.
Yes.
Don't ever ask to see my friend's list because you're never going to see it. That's all I'm going to say. I'll see you later.
Oh, no, that's fine. I mean, I was only doing what I was asked. So
I know you were.
All.
I know you were. But it's bullshit.
I'm caught in a bad place because I'm just a little bit West. That's all.
You know what?
Yeah. I'm not out to hurt anybody, so if anybody
is
any different, it's okay. I mean, you know, I've been getting a lot of heat and people have been saying things.
Right,
and I'm just being trained, that's all. Right.
You know what I'm talking about.
Right, I know.
Screwdriver, it's been good talking to you. I'm going to go.
Okay. Thank you for calling in and you're welcome anytime.
Philip, I'll talk to you later on email.
Okay.
Okay.
Have a good night or a day or whatever it is there.
And stay safe, you guys, and you know, keep fucking fighting because this is bullshit.
Oh, I know.
Absolutely.
I know. But like I said, you're welcome back anytime.
Take care, Philip.
All right, you too, Dizzy.
All right, see you later.
All right, bye-bye. So Ashley, how did you decide to get started in this modeling gig?
How did I decide to get into it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've always wanted to do modeling, really, and I just kind of went to a bikini contest and won, and kind of went from there.
Okay. And then I seen all the pictures that I was given, and the different looks. Which one do you like the best?
What do you mean the different looks?
Well, the way that Ryan took the pictures the other day. Like with posing by the car, looking under the hood, by the motorcycle.
Oh yeah.
Which ones do you prefer to do?
I liked them all. They were all really fun. I'd never done any modeling with, like, cars or motorcycles, but I always wanted to. So it was fun for me. I liked just all of it.
Okay. And then, does Ryan have anything else going to come up for you, or is anybody... If you get approached by anybody, just let me know that... Because you're on for the week, and if somebody sends you something to get through it, don't just jump at anything that anybody sends you. Ask me or have Ryan look at it.
Okay.
Because you might get some goofy shit off the emails.
Yeah, some weird stuff.
Yeah, sometimes it's the way it is, and there's assholes out there that do it just for kicks.
Yeah. I did a photo shoot the other day for Crew Magazine on Sunday. That was part of the thing that I won with the bikini contest.
Oh, cool.
That was fun.
Mm-hmm. And then, basically it's, if you've got some of those bikini shot pictures, send them to me.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get some more numbers out of that. I mean, if you've looked at it and seen what's there and how they're done, you shouldn't have any problem. Or whatever.
Well, all the ones that I've taken were the ones with Ryan. So whatever ones he sent to you.
Okay. No, and they came out real nice. They came out real nice. And
we didn't really do too much bikini.
Oh, okay. But I got asked Sunday if you were gonna send any more shots, so that's why I asked them to send me. And the ones I got today, I got them actually this morning, but I wasn't here. But I'll post them in a little while. And then anybody can go look at it on the blog. So if you send me an email or check, yeah, if you send me an email or check with me, I'll let you know what's going on and how the hits are going.
Yeah, for sure. I'll have to email
you. Okay,
and if you want to
call back in Thursday, Bill will be here and he talked to me and he's got a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
Okay. So I thank you for calling in and hanging out. And what did you think of what you heard?
Well, everything I heard, I agreed with. So.
Or did Ryan tell you about the show?
No, I didn't hear about the show.
Okay. But, yeah, that's what we're here for. It's to keep people informed. And if something happens to me here on the West Coast, it's going to happen to you in the Midwest or the East Coast, North, South, wherever.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things they try and do in Australia and then they do it in Canada. But right now, some of the rights that we have with the Bill of Rights keep them at bay, but they're slowly taking those away too.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
They're becoming more and more in control for sure.
Yeah, and do you carry a cell phone?
I do have a cell phone.
Okay, when you go somewhere that you don't want anybody to find you, do you turn it off? Just turn it off?
I just turn it off.
When you go somewhere, you know, like me, sometimes I go places where I don't want anybody to know where I'm at. So I turn my phone off, but I take the battery out. But just so you know,
yeah,
there's two batteries in your phone. One is about the size of an earpiece for a hearing aid that's underneath
mm-hmm.
your SIM card. So
yeah,
basically, if you take your battery out, your phone is not off. It's still on.
Or you stick it in the microwave. Or you put it in the microwave.
Right.
Put it in the microwave.
Yeah, no, I mean, to be honest, you shut it off and then you place it in the microwave. And then that way they can't surveillance you. They surveillance you. Do you have a smartphone?
No, I don't really know how to use one of those. They have so many apps and stuff on them, so mine's pretty, like, simple. Like, it's touch screen and stuff, but it's half keyboard, but I don't really, like, have apps or anything on my phone. I think it's, like, I think I could get apps on my
phone.
Well,
if it's, like, a 3G, if it's not a 4G and it's a 3G, they can still track you by your phone. So, you know, like I said, that's what we do. That's what we're here for. We inform people, not like you're in a position where you need to hide, or anybody else is saying that. But if you don't want the government to listen to you, shut your phone off, stick it in the microwave.
Dang, I didn't even know they could listen to you through your phone.
They can listen to you through your phone, through your cable box.
Yep.
It is amazing what
through
they can
your
hear
what? Your cable?
Your cable box, yes.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So you can have it off, and you can just freely talk in your own home. It's not freely anymore. They took that away. It was prior to September 11th, you know, from the attacks that took place here.
Yeah.
But it was slowly coming into the phase prior, long before the attacks. Once the attacks came, that's when they came out and made it public. You know, like you could be on your landline or your cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
They can legally listen to your phone calls, and you won't even know they're there. And there's
that's
nothing
ridiculous.
You can do. Yep.
That's not fair.
So it's something, don't talk sex with somebody on the phone. They'll hear.
You don't want people to hear that.
I'm saying that, and I'm not saying that like you do that. I just mean in general, like say if you're married, your husband's out of town or you're out of town, and you're just talking to your spouse, you know, really like you would in your own home. You can't. They hear it. They hear it all.
I don't think that's right at all.
No, it's not right, but they took that away from us. So we don't have privacy
we don't have to where we can openly, you know, the freedom of speech. No, we do not have that. That stopped a long time ago. You know, and the sad thing is, a lot of people don't realize that. And see, if you didn't come to the show tonight, you would not have known.
No, because like right now.
Until like the next time you came, you know.
Because right now in Utah, which isn't far from where you're at,
yeah,
but the National Security Administration has a spy center. They store everything.
They've actually placed a spy center there, which will globally, well, I mean, you know, coast to coast, you know, throughout the states here, where they will monitor and track us.
That's ridiculous.
And
that's
legal.
Where I'm from is Utah. So
yeah. But
the software that they have examines every email, phone call, and tweet as they zip by. But there is, of course, reason for anyone to be distressed about the practice. Once the door is open for the government to spy on us, there are often great temptations to abuse the power for political purposes, as when Richard Nixon, case in point, Nixon was doing eavesdropping. Watergate.
Yeah,
Watergate. That was probably
before.
You
know, and then when Obama took office, this guy Binney hoped that the new administration might be open to reforming the program to address his constitutional concerns that the ongoing warrantless, blatant intercept of everything. He and another former senior analyst tried to bring the idea of an automated warrant approval system to the attention of the Department of Justice Inspector General.
Yeah.
They were given the brush off. They told him, no, we're not into that. But not too long after that, boom, here we go.
I'm going to show you what I got.
So,
it's not a free world like what they want us to feel safe and secure and, you know, everything's fine and hunky-dory. No, it's not. In fact, they've actually made these things that could be the size of, like, smaller than a cell phone, like the size of a bug. It's a device that they can have around your home, and they can listen and do surveillance on you, and you don't even see it and know it's outside of your home.
That's not cool at all.
No.
No.
But unfortunately,
I didn't even know that was going on either. Like,
yeah, that's what they call
really,
drones.
I'm, like, way upset about it. Like, that's not, that's so, like, people don't have privacy.
No.
Mm-hmm.
You can't openly, like, in your own place. If you go to, like, make love to your significant other, guess what?
Yeah.
They're watching. They hear you.
That's not fair. That's something that you're supposed to be able to do, like, by yourself.
Right.
And if you
want to
have phone sex with your husband, you should be able to, like, without somebody listening.
Right. But unfortunately, in this world, you can't. Not in the States. I don't know what it's like in other countries, but I know here in the States, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Even when you talk in your car. What year is your car?
In your car? Really?
What year is your car? Do you know?
Is my car? My car's a 97.
Okay, a 97. And most of
Who's
the
it
car...
made by? Who's it made by? Who's it made
Audi.
By?
It's an Audi.
Audi? Okay. They monitor your computer.
Okay. Now, there's a computer system that's underneath your dashboard that controls certain parts of your vehicle, okay? It went from, well, they got the computer board does a lot of things with the car. If you're mechanical, you know. Or if you ask somebody that is mechanical, you ask them about the computer. Because you're in your car, they know where you're at. They can track you.
Well,
and they
hear
what
you
say. I know
that they can, like, get on your computer of your car and see what's wrong with it. Is it that same thing?
No. Well, it's like that. But it can actually monitor. If you got your cell phone on and you got it on speakerphone, you got it signed down, you're talking, okay, they can hear you. They hear you through that computer. And most of the cars now, they have these small GPS devices that are installed in certain places of your car, in your trunk.
Well, here.
On your tire.
So you,
let me, they know
right
where
there.
You're going.
No, let me stop you right there. In Connecticut, the Transportation Committee, they're backing a bill right now to explore implanting electronic tracking chips on your license plate.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yep.
Why?
So that means you won't see it, but it's there.
Yep.
So wherever
where
you
going.
Go, wherever you go, they know where you're at.
Well, what I suggest for you to do, Ashley, is you have the blog address.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to go read some stuff in there.
I guess I do, because I didn't know about any of this stuff. I've just been
listening
to all this stuff about Coney right now. And
yeah,
that was really overwhelming.
Yeah, that's another one. But if you go in there and you sign in and send me a message, and I'll give you the search box where you can type in whatever you want, and it'll tell you where it is. It'll bring it up for you.
That's crazy. But I'm so for the Coney stuff. Like, I've been watching it and getting into it, and yeah.
Well,
the
whatever you
thing
can
that
do,
they're going to do with blanketing the night with all the posters and stuff, like, I'm doing that. So.
Yeah. But if you want to stay in the know, that's where you need to go.
Yeah, links will be in there. Get informed, please, for the love of God. Because there are so many things that most people do not know. And it is your right when you get pulled over. You don't have to show them your driver's license. They already know who you are. They have you pulled up on their computer. They have your picture. They know you.
Yeah.
And most people don't know that. I tell that to my nephew and my daughter. You get pulled over, do not show them your license. They already know who you are.
That's ridiculous that they already know all that stuff.
No,
mm-hmm.
You wouldn't know that, but that's why we're here. You know, but like Phil was saying, if ever you get, you know, a moment in between, you know, your shoots and everything else, get into that blog and hit those links and just listen, pay attention. If you have to take notes, because you will, by the time you're done looking at everything, you will understand exactly what rights you don't have anymore. It's all gone.
Well, I'm going to have to go on there and look at that and call back on Thursday.
Well, that's okay. That's what we're here for, you know. And like I said, you know, we're only trying to help people. You know, there was a lot I didn't know when I was, you know, first coming on with Phil. And, you know, I've learned a lot. Now it's like, no, we're not doing that. I know my right. They don't like it, and they do not like it when you know your rights.
Yeah.
Because
they want to
make it, you know what it says on the side of their car? We're here to protect and serve. That's what we've always grown up to know. They're there to protect and serve. And so when you need them, you're being questioned. Why are you being questioned? You know, they're actually like, you know, putting you through a drill, like if you're a criminal. And you, whether if you are or not, you still have your rights.
Yeah. You could be the victim and they're still acting like you did something wrong.
Oh, yeah. I went through that during domestic. And, you know, the funny thing is, I had a cop sit there and slam a piece of paper down on my table and say, you need to sign this. I said, what is it? Well, because you don't want to file a complaint. I said, you do. I do. You won't let me. What's the problem? Well, you need to sign this so I can leave.
Hello.
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
it is.
You know, the law doesn't work for you. They're not there to serve and protect.
Well, I've always been kind of skittish and scared about the police. They haven't really liked my family in Utah. They kind of like to go after my brothers for no reason.
Well, yeah, I went through the same thing with my brother, you know, and so long before he passed.
And, you know, the sad thing is, you know, when I would see them just go at him, and I was just like, really? You know, and then they try to tow his car off my property. I'm like, uh-uh. His car is on this side of the sidewalk. You cannot tow it. You're on private property. So take your tow truck and get yourself off private property. Period. Where's the warrant? You don't have a warrant, you're not coming on my property.
Well, my little brother was walking down the street with headphones on and had, like, his sweatshirt hoodie over his head. And the cop pulled up behind him, and he couldn't hear him with his lights on and stuff because he was looking straight forward, and he had earphones on.
Right.
Like, you can't hear with earphones on.
And I look at that like
he
was resisting.
He pretty much said that he was resisting, pulled a gun out on him, threw him on the ground, like, everything. And he didn't even do anything wrong. He just didn't even hear him. Like,
unbelievable. Now, was everything okay? Was he charged for anything, or did they just give him a hard time?
What, they couldn't really charge him with anything because he wasn't doing anything. It was nighttime. My brother was just walking home from a friend's house. Like, and they just know my brothers. The cops out in Cedar City just know my brothers. They know, it's such a small town that if you get in trouble once, they know you. Like, they'll see you driving around and they'll follow you just because they know who you are.
I know.
And they do that with my brothers all the time.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they follow me too. Like, all because, like, I'm related to them. Like, even though I've never gotten in trouble before. Like, they'll still follow me thinking that they're with me or I'm, like, doing stuff too. And it's just ridiculous.
Oh, I was harassed by police before because of my brother. He was innocent, but, you know, they were trying to harass him through me. And I finally had to go to my attorney and say, look, tell him to shit or get off the pot. Because my brother isn't, you know, he didn't do the crime, okay? And so my attorney called and told the detective the same thing. You know, either you shit or get off the pot. Leave my client alone, you're harassing her. And, you know, I mean, it stopped, but it was annoying. You know, it's like, what are you calling and harassing me for? Because he's your brother. So?
Yeah.
So I get where you're at. I was there before.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And Cedar City cops
like
are really bad. It's bored over there. They're bored. They have nothing to do but, like, go out and, like, try to find people that are doing stuff bad. You won't even be doing anything really bad.
Well, that's okay, because a friend of Phil's was walking down the sidewalk, actually got arrested. He was just walking down the sidewalk. He didn't do anything wrong.
Here, I got something for you guys. I got something for you guys to listen to. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Get your cameras out, man.
What you just heard is a guy walked out of a Carl's Jr. and got shot 15 times.
Wow.
Now, when we were talking to you about the phones, listen to this.
Opportunities and unique challenges for all of us. The same is true for police. If a video recording becomes a standard part of interactions with citizens, those who protect and serve may be forced to make some difficult changes in how they execute their public responsibilities. and the honest witness that video can provide is all too absent from many of law enforcement's most intense interactions. Cameras are everywhere, and they can be a valuable tool for transparency and accountability in law enforcement. Not only should the average citizen be able to film if they think the actions of an officer are out of line, but police should employ cameras. They provide great evidence, and if there's a question, it will show, was their use of force justified?
Freedom fighting patriots believe quite correctly that it is their First Amendment right to film the police in public. And yet they, like so many across this country, are being told by law enforcement that they do not have the right to film the police. America, if we can't keep an eye on the police, how can we keep them accountable to the people they are sworn to serve and protect? We need an end to this East Germany-like infringement on our inherent right to free speech. You can film the police in public.
Crazy. You guys got to, I put that up
this
in the chat room.
This is a message to police, right, to the military, to TSA, Homeland Security, and to members of every other enforcement arm of the government. I know that most of you chose the life in uniform because you love your country, because you believed in what that uniform stood for, because you genuinely wanted to serve and protect. But I also know that deep down inside, you sense that something has gone terribly wrong. You've watched with the rest of us as elected officials have legislated our constitutional rights away piece by piece. You've watched as the state surveillance apparatus has expanded like a cancer through the heart of the nation. And you've seen the corruption that's become more blatant with every passing year. I can understand why you haven't wanted to acknowledge the implications of what you're witnessing. To face the reality of what's happening would mean admitting that you've been betrayed. And it would mean coming to terms with the fact that you are working for criminals. I don't envy your position. I know your job depends on following orders. I know you have families to support and bills to pay. And I know if you stand up, you could lose everything. But what you need to understand is that continuing to submit to unconstitutional and immoral orders will not protect you from what's coming. You may tell yourself that you can draw your line in the sand later, that there's a certain point where you'll say no. But in reality, you crossed the line a long time ago. You are standing on the wrong side of history right now. You are already participating in the destruction of this country, the trampling of our rights, of your children's rights, and your grandchildren's rights. You are the enforcement arm of a criminal enterprise. You are a servant of a rapidly expanding police state, and you do have a choice. I'm not telling you this to condemn you. I'm telling you this because we, the people, desperately need you to take a stand. We desperately need you to have the courage to face your commanding officers and tell them, no, I didn't sign up for this. No, this isn't right. No, I will not obey these unlawful orders. You took an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. It's time to start taking that oath seriously.
Why are you hurting these people?
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to close this out with, an oldie but a goodie. This one's Forever Angel by Axel Rudy Bell. And we'll see all you guys Thursday.
See you Thursday.
All right.
Make sure you come back.
I will.
Stick around and check out this song.
Okay.